Thank you, Tammy. Because that's what's before us. We have to understand that if we really do want it all, then we have to realize that it all belongs to Him. Jesus told some stories that brought things to life, put them right in front of us so we couldn't ignore them anymore. We've been talking about some of those stories. They're stories that live. They live in our lives. One of the things that our culture seems to struggle with these days is this funny word called accountability. Urban Meyer doesn't want to be held accountable. Politicians don't want to be held accountable. Hey, if we're honest, we don't want to be held accountable. But I have to tell you that Jesus told stories that told us that is not the way it works. Now, you still want everything? Because if you want it, it's a coming. If you don't, you might want to go ahead and go, honestly. A lot of times we Americans believe that God exists to bless us. And the truth is, when we come together, we come here. The idea is that we come to present ourselves to God as living sacrifices. We come to acknowledge that everything we are, everything that we have, everything that we will be is a product of His grace, His mercy, and His provision. We acknowledge that. That's worship. That's saying God is God and I am not. Unfortunately, it truly is few American Christians that see material wealth as belonging to God. We're going to look at a parable today that Jesus shared, and it has as much to do with what's going to happen when Jesus comes back as it does with what we're supposed to do with what we have. It's about both. It's in Matthew chapter 25. It's a chapter where Jesus is talking about the way things are going to be whenever it's all over at the end. And we forget the placement of this parable whenever we share this parable a lot of times. It's the parable of the talents. So let's look at this parable and let's burst some bubbles and let's get it all and not just part of it. So in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus told this parable. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. And in the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he received the 1 talent, went away, and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with him. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I did and scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. And on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Far too many times we forget this is a parable that's told about Jesus' return. It is about accountability. And we like to explain a lot of it away. But this morning, we're not going to do that. We're not going to look over things. We're not going to explain anything away. So let's look at some basic things that we can see as applications from this parable. Number one, it's clear through this parable that Jesus is positioning us and reminding us that we are servants and stewards. We don't own anything. We have what we have because the master allowed us to enjoy it. We work just like any slave or any servant, any steward. We work and we get to work and we get recompense for our work. But the reality is it doesn't belong to us. And we've got to keep that perspective because it matters in what we do with it in the future. Secondly, God has given us great resources to invest. There is not one person in this room that can say we do not have great wealth if you compare what we have to the rest of the world. We can just forget making excuses. The reality is we are rich people. We live in a country where in many countries we would be kings and princes and high officials simply by virtue of what stuff we've been able to enjoy. All that came from God. He has given that to us to invest. He did not give that to us to act like we created it. If we really believe that we are servants and stewards and that God has given us what we have, then we have to understand that those resources He's given to us are there to invest in His kingdom. I'm going to get back to this in a minute. Number three, what we have belongs to Him. So if we're stewards, He's given us great resource to invest. The reality is it belongs to Him. Now, why is this important? It's important because if we have the attitude when we walk into this place, when we gather to worship, if we don't understand that it's all His, and we don't understand that all we are is His, we don't see Him the right way. You can hear a pin drop. Number four, God trusts us according to our ability. It's established in the parable. Now, I've got friends who have a whole lot more stuff than I do. I've got family members that have a whole lot more stuff than I do. I have never once questioned why God would choose them to have more stuff than me. Sometimes I get a little envious, honestly, but I don't ever get mad at God. He knows what I can handle. He knows what I can't handle. He knows me well enough to know what I will do the right thing with. He knows me well enough to know what I won't do the right thing with. So He's going to entrust to me how much He sees me right now at this time being faithful with. So the next time I get grumpy about not having, I have to look at two things. Well, number one, how well am I really using the stuff He's already given me? How well of a steward am I being? And number two, have I not been obedient with the stuff He's given me, and that's why I don't have the other stuff? I got to look at it honestly. Because He trusts us according to our ability. Number five. The good news is, if you look at the parable, most of us get it. Percentages in the story. Two of the servants got it right. One of the servants didn't get it right. That's about 70%. That's a good thing. Jesus had it right. In the parable, He said, it looks like 70% of the folks, to some degree, understand the way that I want it to be. Whenever I give you stuff that you don't own and you get to use it, you invest it for My kingdom and you see it grow in the kingdom, good news is, well done, good and faithful servant. That's good news, folks. So if these are the applications, what are the implications? Because there are some. Oh, let me say something about the applications before I move on. Look up there at number two. I forgot. I need to say something about that. In this parable, especially in the United States of America, we like to use that word talents and go run off and say, oh, we're talking about abilities and spiritual gifts and things like that. Okay? Yeah, it does encompass that, but the reality is this. When Jesus told the parable, that was a sizable lump sum of money. If He had wanted it to be something else, He could have made it something else. But He was talking about money being given to a servant. The servant didn't own it. It wasn't theirs, and he gave it to them according to their ability. We kind of like to check out on that and pretend like maybe he meant something else. He didn't really mean money. Guess how many times Jesus talks about money? Go count. He does it a lot. Because it's an indication of our hearts. It reflects what we really worship. Okay, we can move on. Let's look at implications. Number one, if it all belongs to God, we will worship God through giving before we do anything else. If it's all His, then the first thing we do is worship. Not the last thing. The first thing. You don't do it because you got stuff left over. You do it because He's God and you're worshiping Him. And if your heart says, I worship God, you worship first. That's tough for us to swallow because, see, we really do believe, like, I worked hard grading all those papers. I had to stand in front of all those students and convince them that if they would just use MLA, their lives would be so much better. And when I do that well, I earn my money. God didn't have anything to do with that. Except I forget the fact that He granted me favor to ever get the job in the first place. That for some crazy reason, they actually have hired me to do this full time. I didn't sit there and ask this professor if I could actually go full time from whenever I was part time. God has orchestrated a bunch of stuff that has given me a job that has allowed me to pay for college for students. It happened to be mine. If it belongs to God, we'll worship God through giving before we do anything else. That means before anybody else gets a check, I worship God first. Second implication, if it all belongs to God, we'll not choke on the thought of a tithe. Why do we choke on the thought of a tithe? I don't get it. By choking on that, what we're saying is, no, God, anything you said before the New Testament, I'm just going to pretend like it didn't exist. I don't like it. I'm not going to pay attention to it. I'm going to do my thing. Now, I'm also not going to tell you that you have to be legalistic. You don't. Because I don't believe God is. What He's saying is, if you love me, is it such a big deal that you give me the first tenth of what you got? I gave it to you. It's mine. I'm letting you use it. How well are you doing it? But the problem is, we choke on that because it goes back to, it's my money. It's exhaustible. And I'm scared to death that I'm not going to have enough done to pay my bills at the end. I'm going to tell you guys, I've lived there. And every time I have done this, I have never not had a way to go take care of whatever I was supposed to take care of. Ever. I got a buddy that whenever I went to church, he said the first thing he ever did was he made sure that he did this. And he too testified, never, even sometimes when the math didn't make sense, he never had a problem taking care of his responsibilities. Number three, implication number three. If it all belongs to God, we will mature in our giving like we desire to mature in every other area of our faith. If we really mean we want it all, we have to understand it all belongs to Him. And if we want to grow as people who know God and see God working in our lives, we can't keep acting like we can play partsies with this or that it doesn't have something to do with the rest of our spiritual growth. It does. It is all related. We are whole beings. And we can't act like this little part of our life doesn't affect every other part of our life. Jesus said, if you're faithful in a small thing, you'll be faithful with much. And if you want God to entrust more to you, you got to be faithful in every area of your life, not just the ones you want to be faithful in. Why is this so important? It's because there is a day of accounting. And at that time of accounting, we're going to be looked at. And yeah, one of the things it's going to say is, how did you love me with the stuff I gave you? And if you didn't love Him with the stuff He gave you, one out of three isn't good. Now the good news is God knows our hearts. I'll be honest with you, I was in this third group whenever I was a young buck right out of college. I went, got my first job teaching and coaching, and I'll be honest with you, I was probably in the 3 or 4% range at best because I just didn't get it. I didn't understand. I was one of those that thought I could go partsies with it. But whenever God hit me over the head with a 2x4 about that, I began to say, okay, God, I know I need you to show me that if I start doing this, that you're going to take care of me. And he did. I started giving a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. I think by the time that I left Atlanta, after 5 years of teaching and coaching, I was at about 8.5%. And then whenever I got to Texas and I had no money at all, it was easy for me to give 10%. But from that point on, it seemed like I just made the decision I was going to do that. And we've done it ever since. God's been faithful. So if we want to grow up in every area of our life in Christ and be mature, it may mean that I learned patience because I learned obedience first. Does that make sense? I had to be obedient in worshiping God first by offering back to Him that first 10%. And that taught me patience that I would not have learned if I did not learn obedience first. There's a reason for all of this. Okay, so what are the questions? Here are the questions. We'll work through the questions. Are you living as though it all belongs to God? Or are you like me, living at times like I earned it, I made it, it's mine, I can do what I want to with it. God just gets the leftovers. Now, that wasn't my attitude, but it was my practice. So are you living as though it all belongs to God? Are you living as though you belong to God? It's a matter of ownership. We've got to get the ownership question right before we can do anything else, because it settles a lot. Second question, are you putting all that has been entrusted to you into play, or are you holding back? Nobody here is going to know that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There really are churches in Savannah that take 1040 forms up every year, that make sure their people are doing this. I have no desire to go that direction. Neither does Dusty, neither does Dane. You got to be kidding me. But the reality is, there is an accounting before us, and we need to make sure that we are really putting into play everything that God has given to us. Everything. Because I don't want to be the one that God has to say to, but you held this back. You acted like it didn't belong to me. Now, I'm not going to get into the net or gross argument with you. But if God gave it to you and you were able to pay taxes on it, that's part of what He gave you, right? You were able to pay taxes. So I'll let you pray about the gross or net thing, but I'm telling you, He gave it all to you. And the last question I have for you is this. Are you living like Jesus is returning to ask you the hard questions? And you might only be able to answer that for today. But today is a good time to answer that question the right way. So you're all in, because if you're all in, you're going to live differently. Am I right? This is one of those that I'm just going to kind of let it marinate a little bit on you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Doesn't that sound good? Don't we all want that? Don't we all want that day of accounting to come and we hear, you did good, kid. We get a pat on the back and we get told to go out and play another position, the one that we've desired all our lives to play. Bow with me. Father God, it is my great desire to see your people hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, it is my desire that your people experience the joy of their master. Father, it is my great desire that your people have confidence when they come before you because they know they have not held anything back from you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see that we are living sacrifices and that everything that we have will not go with us into heaven. And that, Lord, its purpose is to expand your kingdom and take care of us. And you have promised that you would do that. Lord, I pray that we would not only worship you, but we would trust you when you say that you are our Father. Father, what do you have for us? What's the next thing? What are we getting prepared for so that our obedience on the day of accountability turns into a great celebration and great joy? Lord, I thank you that we have this word from you, that we know you care a great deal about us, and you want us to know the truth. Lord, let us love the truth and embrace the truth, because you are the truth. Lord, I pray that many of us who are here today who have very little would not hear a condemning voice. Father, I pray that those of us who are struggling, who are trying to go from week to week, day to day, Lord, because we don't have much, Lord, I ask that you would provide, and that, Lord, like the widow who gave a mite, that, Lord, we would find that you are not only pleased with presenting ourselves and all that we are to you, but that we would find that you are faithful and that you provide and you make a way when there is no way. So, Lord, I ask you to provide for those of us who have great need. And, Lord, those of us who have great wealth, let us ascribe it as God's great blessing. And, Lord, let us bless you because you have placed us in a land that is a land of plenty, a land of opportunity, and a land of great freedom. Help us to exercise that so that, Lord, the resources of your kingdom grow, and that your kingdom grows as we plow it back in to the fields that are white unto harvest. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Just a minute. Gary's going to play. Dane, Dusty, and I will be here for you if you need to pray with us about something. And of course, the baskets are in front and back, just like always. I just pray that you'll listen to God today. Let Him speak to you. Gary. Thanks for your patience. Gary, you got something we can go out on? Bring it up.
Stand up, I don't want to lose this one.
Let's stand.
Come set our hearts ablaze.